Good morning, everyone. All right, so my name is Isla, and if you don't know me, my husband Benji and I, we're part of the elder group around here, and we mainly serve with the worship team as well. So, if I can figure this thing out, for many of us, the Christmas season is finally calming down, right? We're going back to normal. The teachers and students went back to school this week, and our church is returning to Ephesians after taking a pause for several weeks of Advent. And I bet that, like us, many of you have already taken down your decorations for the year. But there's still a part of Christmas that's lingering in my mind, and that's mainly because of the message today. And that part is the star that announced the birth of Jesus. So God literally moved giant flaming balls in the universe in such a way that a new light appeared in our tiny pale blue dot of a planet. And that star announced that the light of the world was here. God's Son wrapped his glory in human flesh and came to our world. Those few who understood the significance of this new light in the sky, they followed that star to Jesus and worshiped him. The Star of Bethlehem this Christmas reminded me that 2 years ago, just after Christmas, I had a really strange star experience. So I was sitting in my house doing some computer work by the window, and all of a sudden this light just shot through my window into my eye. Now the picture does not do it justice at all. It was insanely bright. It had, like, beams shooting out in every direction. And honestly, it looked like a little star had landed in my front yard. So I tried to close the blinds, tried to ignore it, get back to work. But eventually, I just put on my coat and boots, and I went out to see what in the world was blazing glory in my front yard. So deep down, I was hoping it was something maybe shiny, something valuable, like Benji's wedding ring that fell off him up there when he was chopping wood. But when I walked up to this blazing light, I found the last thing I expected. I was shocked and a little disappointed at first. There lay an empty, ordinary, discarded beer can. Like a perfectly placed pun in bold letters, it read, "Light." I picked it up, I threw it in the recycling bin, and I started walking away. But then the significance of this beer can hit me. And so I dug it out of the recycling bin, and I took a picture of it. You see, this can was used up, emptied out. It was carelessly thrown out as a piece of trash. Just a toss away from the road, it was probably used in the darkness of night while someone was breaking the law. Yet no matter its shameful past, that can changed when the light of the sun hit it. It changed from a piece of used up trash into a star. Of course, the can had absolutely no power to create light or to be light on its own, but basking in the glory of the sun, it became a reflection of the source. It became a powerful, light-giving force. Now, the irony of finding this beer can star rocked me that day because I believe we have some interesting things in common with this beer can. In the dumpster, it would nearly be worthless. It might be labeled as light. But in the shadows, it would seem to have nothing in common with light. We are made in the image of God. We are made to be light, to have the name of our Creator written on our foreheads, as it says in Revelation. Yet without the Spirit of God shining through us, we cannot reflect our Creator. Without the Spirit of God, we are just the walking dead, empty vessels being thrown around in the night. It is the Spirit that gives life and light to us, that enables us to reflect the glory of our God. It is the Spirit that makes us powerless vessels shine like stars in a dark world. So today's passage in Ephesians is about being filled with God's light and reflecting God's light in this dark, dark world. There are a lot of intense subjects in Ephesians 5, so we are going to journey through it one section at a time. Feel free to follow along on your own device, your own Bible, or on the screen behind. So here we go, Ephesians 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Verse 2 says we are to live a life filled with love. This means as children of God, we are not empty, nor are we filled with this world. We are vessels filled with the Holy Spirit, vessels filled with the love and light of Christ. So if we claim God as our Father, then we should follow the example of God's perfect Son, Jesus. I'm going to be the first to confess that sometimes I just want to get away. I want to get away from this dark world. I want to be in a safe haven, an island away from all of the troubles. But when we believe and are baptized into the family of God, we are left here for a purpose. We are here to be a palpable reflection of Christ in this world. And the main way we reflect Jesus is through love, not the world's definition of love, but God's definition. The world loves like that person who loved that beer can while it quenched his thirst, and then he threw it away when it was no longer useful to him. He chucked it out the window because he was finished with it, embarrassed by it, disgusted with it, or scared to be seen with it in his hand while he was driving. That is not love. God's love was demonstrated most completely on a cross of suffering. And if Jesus tells us to pick up our cross and follow him, then I believe that loving God and loving others is oftentimes going to feel a lot like suffering. Being patient and kind and slow to get angry is going to feel a lot like dying to yourself. And as we continue in Ephesians 5, please remember that this chapter began with love, and so everything after it needs to be rooted in love. The next section in Ephesians provides a contrast to the love of God by exposing dark activities that oppose the light and truth of God. So Ephesians 5:3 starts, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world." Friends, this is serious stuff. Who or what do we really worship? Do we look like the world, or do we look like Jesus? If our bodies, minds, and souls have been united with Christ, what we say and do should reflect the light of God, not the darkness of this world. Our sexual lives and our sexual ethics should look very, very different from the nightly sitcom. We are not out-of-control mammals driven by wild hormones and uncontrollable instincts. No, our bodies are temples of the Spirit of God. They are holy vessels to be used for prayer and thanks and words of truth, not for obscenities, not for gossip or the crudest jokes we can shock people with. God, forgive us. Now, please don't misunderstand this passage and think that God is up there so serious that he never smiles or laughs. I am certain that God has a healthy sense of humor. If you don't believe me, watch a few of the thousands of funny cat videos online. Laughter is a gift. Jokes and humor can be creative and beautiful. They can lighten heavy burdens. They can bring joy. But we need to be careful that our jokes don't tear others down or objectify them. Do we use humor to make ourselves look good while destroying someone else? Do we watch obscene movies or read obscene stories just to be entertained and shocked? Yes, Jesus conquered sin, and we shouldn't be legalistic about adding more and more and more rules to people, but that does not mean that we have an excuse to celebrate sin or to give glory to it with our mouth or our lifestyles. We should not blend in or participate with the darkness. Instead, our words and our bodies and our deeds should bring life, light, and love into this world. The next part of Ephesians adds a warning. In verse 6, it says, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." We cannot be fooled into thinking that sin is no big deal. Sin is a big deal to God, and it should be a big deal to us. It is dark and destructive. It destroys the body, the mind, the soul. It puts more death into a world that was meant for life. So if we trust in Jesus, our actions and our attitudes should not reflect this world, but it should reflect the light of God's Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says that if we live by the Spirit, we should also walk by the Spirit. Let us walk in the light and be the light. Now, being the light is not easy or comfortable by any means. Being the light means having really hard conversations. Being the light means forgiving people over and over and over and over again. Being the light means that all sorts of darkness is going to be exposed inside of us and around us. And that exposure can be really painful, but it is very necessary. Our section in Ephesians today ends by saying, in verse 10, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in private. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" Our job is to let the light of Christ shine in us and out of us. We cannot expose the darkness unless we ourselves are fully exposed to the light. Since we don't always know what to do, we're told to carefully determine what pleases God. And we carefully determine what pleases God by following the Spirit, by searching God's word, by praying for guidance, by journeying with Christian community through the fog. Then as we learn to distinguish the light from the darkness, we will expose these deeds of darkness to the light. Though we might not want to think about it, most of us could easily list dozens of shameful things that destroy people in secret. Things that make us shake our head or talk in hushed tones. Things that make us weep and shudder. We read about them in the news every day. And too often, we hide our own shame from family and friends and coworkers and the church because we are afraid of what will happen if it's exposed to the light. We know that the darkness is bad. But if we're honest, sometimes we choose the darkness because it seems safer. If we ignore a problem, we don't have to face it. Exposing things to the light can be painful because it forces us to face that ugliness that's hiding in the shadows. And I get it. I've been there. For my whole childhood, I kept a shameful secret hidden. no one would have guessed that the straight-A student smiling in the front row of class was hiding a shameful darkness. No one would have guessed that the girl who came from a stable and loving Christian family was covering up an ugly, ugly scar. No one saw me suppressing flashbacks. No one saw me running to the large trash can behind our house to throw the bad thoughts out of my mind. No one would have guessed I was keeping a terrible secret from my parents because it seemed too dark, too shameful, too horrible of a burden to expose them to. Hiding it felt safer. The darkness felt like a good place to just lock it away. And to be honest, I didn't want to expose the story to you today. I love you all dearly, but I don't want you to see my ugly scars. And after this message, I don't want you to be thinking about me or my story, but I'm going to expose this to you today because I believe that exposing the darkness is powerful and necessary. And I believe that revealing my shame can set other people free. Now, I could sit and talk about the lies and the battles and the distortions that this darkness added to my life, but I'm not going to focus on the darkness because it never was the most powerful force. Instead, I'm going to take you on a journey with me as light exposed and fought back the darkness. And of course, this light was the Spirit of God working in me and in other people of light around me. And it is a light that no darkness can extinguish. Light first exposed the darkness. When a lady came and talked to my elementary class about how our bodies belong to us, the light exposed the deeds of darkness being done to me and told me that I had the right and I had a voice to say no. So the hardest thing that I ever did in my entire life, I did at a very young age with no adult by my side. But the light was there. So I wrote in the best spelling I could muster at that age, "Please don't touch me. It makes me feel uncomfortable and I don't like it." And I delivered it to a teenage boy. The light gave me enough courage to expose the darkness that day. And the abuse stopped because it was exposed. The light also shined through my father, who showed me over the years how men should respect and love and treat women. The light shined through hundreds of sermons and scripture readings that taught me to forgive and taught me to get my worth from God and not from humans. Years later, the light broke through again because that teenage boy, he became a man and he gave his life to Jesus. He then exposed his deepest shame, his deepest darkness, by asking forgiveness of both me and my parents. He exposes to my parents, not I. Can you grasp the enormity of that confession? This is hard, terrifying stuff to expose. These are shameful things to speak of, but they need to be exposed, and only God can give that type of courage. The light shined again when I joined a program as a teenager. I went to the middle schools to teach them that their bodies are worth waiting for. The light shined as a young adult by giving me the strength to expose this darkness to Benji when we got engaged. Not because I wanted to, but because I knew if our marriage was going to be healthy, it had to be exposed. The light shined through my parents again when they paid for counseling so we could be prepared to face marriage and the struggles that would come from that, especially from the darkness that was long ago. And at the age of 20, my shameful past was exposed in a very public way. Though a few people now knew of the abuse, it was still something very buried, very hidden. I could barely utter that it had happened. But all that changed when I was attending a youth conference as a young adult leader. I don't remember what the sermon was about, but at the end, he asked people to come out into the aisles for prayer over things that they needed freedom from. So he started calling out things of darkness, addiction, sexual sins, eating disorders. And I believe he said, if this is you, don't walk for prayer. Run. So when he called out for those who were molested, I didn't think. I just ran. And I don't know what I said or shouted or prayed that day, but I'm a typically laid-back girl, and I was on my knees crying things out, banging my hands on the ground, and shouting to God in a crying room, along with many others who were crying out for freedom that day. There was no pretending to be okay. There was no being proper or caring if people thought I looked like a crazy person. But there also was absolutely no shame. You see, before then, I had buried these scars. This past was... it was too hard to show others. So I focused on the light of Christ out in the open. But I ignored and hid the darkness still waging war within me. My smile was still real. My joy in Christ was real. But I kept the darkness carefully locked away because I thought that it was my burden to carry. I was wrong. Jesus didn't want me to carry that burden alone like the little girl. He wanted me to rip it out of that locked box, throw it at his feet in front of God and everyone, and say, Jesus, I can't carry this anymore. You carry it. The light broke through in a new way that day, and I became free to open my mouth and expose this darkness that had stolen my childhood innocence. When we returned home from the conference that day, the church asked for testimonies from the weekend. My stomach was turning. I felt like it was going to explode. So I stood up and I told the whole church what had happened to me in the past. My heart's proclamation that day was, yes, the darkness attacked me. It tried to imprison me and destroy me. But the light broke through again and again and again. And it not only saved me, but also that lost boy. After I testified at church that day, I realized that exposing deeds of darkness to the light of God is powerful and freeing and necessary. After I spoke, a girl came forward and confessed about pills she was taking and about sexual choices she was ashamed of. A teenage boy came up then, and he confessed that he was addicted to porn. And after the words left his mouth, he raised both of his hands, crying and said, I'm free! Friends, the light of Christ sets us free. The darkness holds us captive in our shame, but the light of God frees us. You see, when we expose the darkness, we realize how much we need Jesus. When we expose the darkness, we realize that only God can save us from this shame. And most importantly, we realize that God was, He is, and He will always be more powerful than the darkness. Larry Crabb writes about raw honesty and open healing in community in his book called Connecting. He says, I want us to be honest about the insecurities, fears, and inadequacies that lie hidden in our hearts, beneath the appearances we may present to others. I want us to speak with neither shame nor pride about the dark nights of our soul. I want us to be able to tell the stories of our abuse, rejections, or failure to a few special people who will listen and know they can't take the pain away. To look beneath all that is difficult and see the miracle God has wrought in our hearts. I want us to see that He has placed powerful urges to do good in the deepest recesses of our regenerated hearts. That's what the new covenant is all about. Something wonderful and beautiful and resilient is within us that no abuse, rejection, or failure can ever destroy. I want us to focus on that. My brothers and sisters, what if we were no longer scared of being exposed? What if we listen when the Spirit of God tells us to share those shameful things, those hard things, those things that tear us apart and rock our world? And what if we love people through their own darkness? What if we ask God to expose the darkness within us like David did? Search me and know me, O God. If there is anything offensive in me, lead me out of this darkness and into your eternal light. When we bask in the light of God and allow everything to be exposed, it's bright enough to change us and change those around us. When we allow ourselves to be exposed to the light of God, it shines on others, and they are then faced with the choice of hiding in the darkness or allowing the light to change them and free them. Jesus didn't cover up or hide the deeds of darkness and shame in this world. No, he made a complete spectacle of the darkness. Check this out in Colossians 2. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He made a public spectacle of them. Jesus put all the ugliness of this world on display in the broad daylight. God's Son came down into the darkness. He put on human flesh, and then he allowed his body to be publicly disfigured, shamed, and abused, and then murdered. He publicly exposed the darkness by letting it openly beat and break his own body. He took the cup of righteous wrath against all the wickedness in this world, and he said, all right, God, pour it all out on me. Pour it all out on me. But look what happened even that day by exposing our shame on a public cross. A guilty thief was hanging next to him, and he saw the light of Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And the light of Christ pierced through that brutal, bloody darkness. And a Roman soldier opened his mouth and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Exposing the darkness allows others to see the light of Christ on display. Friends, so many in our world are living in prisons of darkness. They aren't surrounded by people of light like I was growing up. Or they decide that the light is too painful, so they hide in the darkness. But by the grace of God, it is not too late to step into the light. It is not too late for the sinner to be freed. And as the body of Christ, we have become the light of Christ. We are the stars shining in a dark sky. And our goal this year and every year should be to reflect that light and love of Christ through everything, our body, our mind, and our soul. So let's go back to that empty, thrown-out beer can. It had nothing of its own to boast about. But the moment the sun shined on it, it didn't matter what its past was. All that mattered is it was reflecting the light of a powerful star. So it became a witness to the great light that our planet circles around. So as the band comes forward and we get ready for communion, let's remember that Jesus is the source of love and life and light in this world. In the new world, the sun is going to vanish, and we will see and walk and live fully only in the light of Christ. So the bread and wine of communion, it symbolizes Jesus sacrificing his body and blood in a public spectacle to take on the punishment and shame of this dark world to himself and to expose it all. And that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, it lives now in his people, and it brings us from death to life and from darkness to light. We may still be bound to this dark world, but we are to shine the light of Christ in the darkness. We are to stick out as oddities that makes people wonder, where does that light come from? And then we can point to the source of the power. Like that empty beer can, we can say with no shame, man, look at me. I'm just a vessel basking in the light of Jesus. All that man-made stuff is being poured out of me. So I may look empty, but I'm now filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Daniel 12:3 says, "The wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." We are here to sabotage the darkness with the light of Christ. And it is a light that no darkness can extinguish. The Star of Bethlehem has left us. Jesus, the light of the world, has risen to his throne in heaven, but he transfers his light to us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to the crowd following him, "You are the light of the world. The baton has been passed to us. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the lights shining in the darkness. And the darkness may growl and fight and look scary, and it might even kill you, but it cannot destroy the light and the life within you." The recent Advent writings inspired me to have us end with a call and response around this theme of light in Ephesians 5. So if you will, please stand with me and let these words soak into you like the light of the sun on a warm spring day. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light no darkness can extinguish. Once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, a light no darkness can extinguish. So live as people of light. This light within you produces only what is good and right and true. A light no darkness can extinguish. Evil intentions are exposed when the light shines on them. So to a dark world, we will shine like stars with love and truth and grace, saying, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. A light no darkness can extinguish." Amen. Let us worship the Lord of love and life and light.